Good evening, folks, and welcome back on this Saturday, the 18th day of July, 2020. And tonight I want to take a pretty blunt look at what's actually going on in formerly free America, when it's pretty clear that most of the world has gone completely insane, and those who actually can read Scripture for comprehension have a pretty good clue about what's coming next. In weeks previous, I've talked about the absolute stupidity, and I'm going to use that word a lot today because it's the only one that really fits, of throwing out not only the Bill of Rights, but the entire concept of the rule of law, and ordering people, octung, to wear something that is so absolutely backwards, asinine, that you've got to be, well, stupid, not to mention scientifically illiterate, about everything from particle size and filtration, to respiration, to human nature, to sign up for anything so asinine. I'm talking, of course, about the face diaper, the burqa, the muzzle, the almost utterly worthless mask that is now being mandated by the public-private partnership, i.e. licensed businesses that want to stay in business, pretty much all across the nation, if you want to buy or sell. Does it work? Of course not. But that's not the point. It does an absolutely brilliant job of what it's intended to do. And at this point, it's gone beyond even a beta test. Separate the slaves and those that are too stupid to know when they're being used from those who maintained what the founders called a spirit of resistance. But there's yet a third group, too, that gets lumped in with the ignorant and the slaves. And that includes those who know better, but in far too many cases are being cowed into silence and submission. Ultimately, of course, they end up on the same trains as the other slaves. Last week I did a show about the muzzled 501c3 church that basically is a different kind of slave to a different god and certainly isn't helping anybody who even remotely understands what the real God and creator of the universe, Yahuwah, expects from us. After the Nazi era, people learned to call them Quislings. These were the traitors who told those fixing to get on the trains going to Auschwitz, stay in line, nothing bad is going to happen, and look forward to the nice showers that await you at the other end. In today's equivalent, they stand in the grocery stores and Walmart aisles and look like something out of the Invasion of the Body Snatchers. Oh, that person's not wearing their mask! The trouble is, most of them are not only ignorant, but already conditioned not to respond to anything even remotely approaching a logical argument. And maybe it helps that they're oxygen-deprived and carbon dioxide overloaded from wearing that stupid mask anyway. So you might as well not argue with them. But you do have to admit that's part of the brilliance of this satanic strategy. Literally, to get people fighting in grocery stores and hardware aisles over a stupid piece of cloth that benefits nobody except the slave master, because they can easily see who's drinking their Kool-Aid, and hurts primarily, but not exclusively, the wearer. Not only physically, but psychologically. Because it literally serves to divide and dehumanize, and has been shown in CIA documents to be a very effective means of torture and population control. And gee, they're certainly executing that now, aren't they? I did, though, hear one interesting comment over the last week or so. Try this one next time one of the Walking Dead wants to chasten you for not putting on your slave muzzle. Hey, if you break wind, can you smell it wearing that thing? Ponder that for a while. Most, of course, won't get the obvious implications, but they weren't going to listen to your arguments anyway. But those that do still have some functioning brain cells might actually end up getting mad, eventually, at the right people. But as we follow the trail to where I'm headed today, I do want to ask this question. Who would have thought that the United States would eventually go to Civil War II over something so incredibly stupid as a worthless piece of cloth? And no, I'm certainly not talking about a flag, because at least at one time that represented something, even though most Americans seem to have completely forgotten what it might be. When I was thinking about the show for this week, I originally wanted to focus on the Black Lives Matter. What, a movement? No, that's hardly what it is. Call it a religion? Call it a Soros organization? Call it the modern Jacobins or brown shirts or Bolsheviks or whatever? They're certainly communists to the core. Their leadership's even admitted that they're trained Marxists. But there's a whole lot more going on here than just those terrorist insurrectionists. Have you noticed, folks, how, with the possible exception of people like young white mothers being executed for speaking anti-Molech blasphemies like All Lives Matter, the mainstream media narrative has suddenly shifted away from the Black Lives Matter Bolshevik Revolution and back to, booga booga booga, COVID-1984, almost like throwing a switch. "Show us you're a good little slave" is still the order of the day, but instead of Sieg Heil to Black Lives Matter, it's back to put on your muzzle and shut up. Note, of course, that once you get the mob all spun up and they decide they want to go out and kill some white folk, that violence is going to continue for a while. But as this tragic story from earlier in the week makes clear, that doesn't mean the mainstream media has to report on it. After all, they've got an agenda to pursue. A 24-year-old mother of a 3-year-old child was killed by a Black Lives Matter mob in Indianapolis last week because she uttered the dreaded politically incorrect statement, "All lives matter." Well, at least the Ministry of Truth knows their propaganda is working, according to plan. Jessica Doty Whitaker was walking by the canal in Indianapolis, says Cassandra Fairbanks for the Gateway Pundit, after a 4th of July celebration with her fiancé and 2 friends, when they were approached by a group of people saying, "Black Lives Matter." Her family and fiancé all said that when Whitaker responded by saying, "Yes, all lives matter," the mob grew very aggressive and pulled a gun on them. Her fiancé, Jose Ramirez, also pulled out a gun defensively, and that seemed to cool things off, but only briefly. The group of murderers evidently went and hid, waiting for the Whitaker party to walk under the bridge at St. Clair, where she was shot multiple times in the head and elsewhere by what were described as multiple black assailants, fatally. Says TGP, the national media completely ignored the story, and local media downplayed the shooting as, quote, the second in the canal in a week, lumping her story in with a black teenager who was shot while attempting an armed robbery. They reported it as, according to the victim's family, the shooting started with an argument over Black Lives Matter and language, unquote, but they never actually mentioned what that language was, and the fact that the simple phrase, "All lives matter," got her killed. Her father, Richard Doty, confirmed to the Gateway Pundit that neither CNN nor Fox News has reached out for information about the case, despite the fact that the murderers are still on the loose. Quote, "Why isn't anybody outraged about this?" he said in a Facebook post. "Is it that BLM was involved, or is it that young white adults were the victims?" Here's one from the Sovereign Man, via Zero Hedge, that's a great follow-up. The authors of a story which found no racial bias in police shootings has asked for the study to be retracted. Say what? Well, here are the main findings. 1, as the proportion of black or Hispanic officers in fatal officer-involved shootings increases, a person shot is more likely to be black or Hispanic than white, a disparity explained by county demographics. And 2, race-specific county-level violent crime strongly predicts the race of the civilian shot. Unquote. In other words, police killings do not generally tend to show a racial bias. That is, when you look at all the data. Now, the authors here don't want the study retracted because their findings turned out to be wrong. The data is sound. Rather, the authors of the study now feel that it's being used improperly in the debate about police killings. They don't seem to like the fact that people are using their study to discredit the Black Lives Matter narrative. And the problem will only get worse, the story suggests, as people become more skeptical of movements like Black Lives Matter when they realize they go way, way, way beyond racial injustice and in fact promote an outright Marxist agenda. Not to mention violence, murder, and real racism. But the Waystream, at least, now wants to shift the narrative back to the useful idiots and their masks. It's kind of like a 1-2 punch. Hit them over here, then turn them around and hit them over there, and eventually they'll get tired and just plain give up. Let's start off, though, with a bit of good news on the second front. This one courtesy of Arsenio Toledo at Natural News about Texas County sheriffs who are now refusing to enforce Governor Abbott's absolutely idiotic mask mandate. The sheriffs of 9 counties, says the piece, have sworn they won't even consider upholding Abbott's new directive because it is, in fact, unenforceable and, obviously, unconstitutional. And this comes as the number of bogus cases continues to soar, but nobody who's paying attention believes the numbers anymore anyway. Even Florida, thanks to some honest local news reporting, is having to admit that in many places the numbers are at least an order of magnitude higher than reality. And this is kind of interesting, shows that at least a few sheriffs actually understand the oath that they took to support the Constitution and laws. The language of the tyrannical order states that law enforcement officials will be able to charge repeat offenders with a fine of up to $250. However, no offenders, it says, may be detained or jailed for not wearing their good little slave muzzles. And that language, say those who can read, is what makes this Fourth Reich order difficult to enforce, because stopping people who aren't wearing masks does basically amount to detaining them. But come on, folks, since when does consistency matter to tyrants? If facts or logic had anything to do with it, the whole mask scam would have been obvious to an educated and moral people from day one, which is what makes all of this such a devious litmus test. Denton County Sheriff Tracy Murphy wrote on Facebook, "The order is not a law. There is no requirement for any police officer to enforce it, and it's unenforceable. We can't spend our time running from place to place for calls about masks we can really do nothing about." Unquote, and by the way, shouldn't. Joe Gamaldi, president of the Houston Police Officers Union, tweeted over a week ago that, quote, "While we in law enforcement are desperately trying to build trust with our community and are spread incredibly thin with the huge rise in violent crime, we are now expected to enforce yet another draconian mask law." For his part, the man who sees himself as the Führer of Texas, in an interview with KFDM anchor Tiffany Murphy, took issue with elected officials, including sheriffs, who were refusing to enforce his wanton abuse of power he actually doesn't have. And he criticized them for what he called absenteeism rather than action on their parts. That reminds me of a saying I heard when I was a kid, folks. Do something, even if it's wrong. And that seems to be especially important now in Texas. And come to think of it, California, New York, New Mexico, Florida, and an increasing number of no longer free states. In Louisiana, too, there's at least one elected official that seems to understand that he took an oath before God. Attorney General Jeff Landry said Wednesday in a 9-page legal opinion that Democrat Governor and Führer John Bel Edwards' mask mandate is, quote, "likely unconstitutional and unenforceable." Now, here I have to insert a legal definition for those of you that aren't quite up on politispeak. Likely unconstitutional in this case means obviously, but will a black robe priest of another god actually read the law? Among other things, in his 9-page expose of tyranny come to Louisiana, the Attorney General said, quote, "The governor's recent mandate does not appear to serve achieving any type of goal or mission in a manner consistent with statutory authority and constitutional provisions," unquote. And he also suggested that the mandate can't be enforced with financial or criminal penalties either. And I really like this line too, quote, "Both businesses acting under color of law as mask police and actual police acting as mask police, by the way, also under color of law, could face liability if individual civil rights are violated due to the proclamation." He's talking about things like, at the federal level, 18 United States Code Section 241 and 242, among others. Hey, wouldn't it be fun, folks, to see a whole bunch of crooked governors and local mayors sued under various color of law statutes and held to account by a court system that actually read the law they were supposed to enforce as well? Yeah, I know. None of them seem to care, so don't hold your breath. Which also means don't wear a mask. Hollywood, on the other hand, is drinking the mask Kool-Aid just like you knew darn well they would. I saw one of the most disgusting hashtags I've ever seen the other day. "Wear a damn mask," some of the sycophants were saying. Well, folks, that's what they do for a living, so why are we not surprised? And arguably, the only element of truth in that disgusting hashtag is that it is a damn mask, and it's no damn good for anything. As for the rest of us, we'd like to be able to breathe. And by the way, oxygen deprivation and rebreathing your own exhaust gases reduces brain function. You can see exactly why Hollywood is such a mess. I did see this bit of leftist celebrity idolatry, courtesy of the Daily Mail. Tom Hanks, as their headline, describes his COVID-19 symptoms as, quote, "bones feeling like they were made of crackers," unquote, and asked how he feels when he sees people actually acting like human beings and not wearing their mandated masks. Tom was adamant that wearing a face covering is, quote, "literally the least you can do," unquote. And hey, there's a bit of Clintonian truth. It is not only literally the least you can do, since it's actually harmful, it's even less than the least useful thing you could possibly do.
Are you crazy? Or just plain stupid?
Stupid as stupid does, Miss Blue.
I guess.
So yeah, wear your damnable face muzzle, or else. But wait, when it comes to tyranny, we do have to talk about the People's Republic of Michigan, where communist Governor Gretchen Whitmer has used the IPOSCAP, or Integrated Public Alert Warning System, to send out thousands of messages to all the little peons' cell phones Monday afternoon, alerting people that, Achtung, it is compulsory that they wear those masks in public. And businesses must refuse entry or service to those who do not wear a mask covering. The InfoWars piece, courtesy of Stephen Watson, actually includes a wonderful graphic that says, all too appropriately, Heil Whitmer. And this, by the way, is the same Führer Whitmer who was recently criticized for joining Black Lives Matter communist protesters in the streets after lecturing small businesses for weeks that they must stay shut down. said a state senator, Peter Lucido, in a statement, "This is an overt abuse of a service designed to alert people of legitimate emergencies. The governor has gone beyond the scope and intent of the law and is now somewhere over the rainbow and approaching Oz." I said, "Fair your damn masks."
If you are really great and powerful, you keep your promises.
Do you presume to criticize the great Oz? You ungrateful creatures, think yourselves lucky that I'm giving you audience tomorrow instead of 20 years from now.
Oh.
The great Oz has spoken.
Oh.
Pay no attention to that man behind the curtain. The great Oz has spoken.
Who are you?
Oh, I am the great and powerful Wizard of Oz.
It's about time, folks, that Americans pull back the curtain and take off the muzzle and the blinders, too. Back to a bit of good news on more or less the same subject. And this one comes from the Silver Bullion SG blog, courtesy of Zero Hedge, and falls in the category of, if it's not 100% true, it should be. NHS Consultant, which is the British National Health System, SICK, says that its staff are being silenced over COVID-1984, and it begins that, although we cannot verify his or her identity, we still think readers ought to see it. First published in the Bernician, the statement is allegedly from a senior consultant working for the NHS in a hospital in Surrey, describing the criminal gagging of all levels of NHS staff, who've been threatened that they will lose their jobs if they speak out about the COVID-1984 pandemic. Here's what it says in part. "I am a consultant at a major regional hospital in Surrey, and I agreed to give an interview to an anti-lockdown activist in which I would have revealed my identity, but I've since changed my mind and now only feel able to give an anonymous statement. And I changed my mind simply because all staff, no matter what grade, at all hospitals, have been warned that if they give any media interviews at all or make any statements to either the mainstream press or smaller independent press or social media, we may be immediately suspended without pay. I have a family, dependents, and so I simply can't do that to them. Therefore, I can't reveal my identity, but want to state as follows. In my opinion, and that of many of my colleagues, there has been no COVID pandemic, certainly not in the Surrey region, and I've heard from many other colleagues that this picture is the same throughout the country," meaning Great Britain. "Our hospital would normally expect to see around 350,000 outpatients a year, and around 95,000 patients are admitted to the hospital in a normal year, and we'd expect to see a similar figure, perhaps around 100,000 patients, pass through our A&E department. But in the months from March through June inclusive, we would normally see 100,000 outpatients and about 30,000 patients admitted to the hospital, perhaps 30,000 through our A&E department. This year, and these figures are almost impossible to get hold of, we're down over 95% on those numbers. In effect, the hospital has been pretty much empty for the entire period. In large part," he notes later on, "not only because all elective surgery has been canceled, but a whole bunch of non-elective surgery as well that tends to be emergency or that which is deemed urgent has also been severely curtailed. Staff questioning this were told they were being used as redundant capacity, kept back for the deluge that was supposed to come, but never did. And when they questioned that, they were told, first, it was for the greater good and to protect the NHS, but now it's more along the lines of shut up or you don't get paid. The few COVID cases that we have got repeatedly tested, and every single test counted as a new case, meaning the figures reported back to ONSPHE, the Office for National Statistics and Public Health England, were almost exponentially inflated. And it could be that COVID cases reported by hospitals are between 5 to 10 times higher than the real number of cases. There's been no pandemic," says the author, "and this goes a long way to explain why figures for the UK are so much higher than anywhere else in Europe." And I suspect, folks, you could say something similar might be happening in America with a K. The author even notes that the scam goes so far as to keep empty ambulances running around with their lights on and sirens going, but actually nowhere to go and no patients to bring. Regarding death certification, the story goes on to say all staff are responsible for this, and they've been encouraged, wherever possible, to put COVID-19 complications as the reason for death, even if the patient may have been asymptomatic and not even tested for COVID. In the United States, of course, we know that COVID cases are worth tens of thousands of dollars to the hospital, so that's an obvious incentive for over-reporting them. But when it comes to socialist Britain, I'm sure the numbers are harder to sort out. I genuinely believe, says the informant, that many death certificates, especially amongst the older 65-plus demographic, have been fraudulently completed so as to be counted COVID-19 deaths. Remember, the author says, COVID-19 itself cannot kill. What kills is complications from the virus, typically pneumonia-like symptoms. The informant concludes this way. There are many good people in the NHS, and whilst I do not plead forgiveness for myself, I do plead for them. Most are on low pay. They join for the right reasons, and I did, and have been bullied and threatened that if they don't stay on message, they don't eat. I know that if a way could be found to assure staff within the NHS of safety against reprisals, there would be a tsunami of whistleblowers, which I have no doubt would help end this complete and brutal insanity. I am finding it increasingly hard to live, says the author, with what I've been involved in, and I am sorry this has happened. In the end, I would simply say this. Politicians haven't changed. The country has just made a fatal mistake and started trusting them without question. Which is a lesson, folks, that seems to have to be relearned every generation. This time around, however, the lesson may simply be terminal. And as I think about the implications of that story, I can't help but add, hey folks, if we expect doctors to actually stand up and say, all of this idiocy is costing people their lives, their fortunes, and yeah, their sacred honors, we ought to at least be willing to rip off the stinking masks and speak the truth boldly as we ought to, too. Because I guarantee you, and this is not a prophecy, it's a promise based on history, which is obviously repeating one more time, with face burkas instead of yellow stars, that if we don't rip off the masks, millions will die. And I want to say this again, too, because it's an even more dramatic long-term concern. If people don't have what it takes to say no to a stupid piece of cloth over your mouth and nose so that you can't breathe today, and as a result, in an increasingly obviously fascist state, you won't be allowed to buy or sell. But wait a minute, we've got something else on the horizon, even sooner. Yeah, if you can't say no to the mask, and they mandate that you're going to have a vaccine before you can travel, or go into a government building, or pay your taxes, or, well, buy and sell, why not just get ready for it and bend over now? You know, it really is impossible to oversell just how serious the conditioning that's going on now is. Because if people can't say no now, I'm going to suggest they never, ever, ever will be able to. And I've said this for the longest time, too. Just about the worst thing that I think could ever happen to America would be a Civil War version 2.0. And we're certainly getting awfully close, but there is one obvious exception. And that is, if they walk voluntarily, like good little muzzled slaves, right onto the trains that Big Brother has prepared for them, bend over and take their vaccinations, and yeah, then you're all set for the mask of a mark of the beast, too. I'll go to break with one more story that I hope illustrates the point. This comes from the People's Republic of California, which some suggest may be fixing to turn tail and sell out to the communist Chinese. I'll suggest if you follow what's going on, it's already too late. They have. As of July 13th, say stories I've seen multiply sourced by now, all indoor church services have been banned in the People's Republic of China on the American left coast in at least 30 counties. And that includes even in-home Bible studies and fellowship. In other counties, fellowship may be limited to 25% of the capacity, or at most 100 people, whichever is less. But that's not all. Singing, praise, and worship have also been banned. Although, and you knew this was coming, didn't you? The exact same order allows protests. Well, at least if they're the politically correct kind of protest against the Republican form of government and for the new Red Chinese-style communist dictatorship. Wait a minute, Mark. Aren't you being awfully hard on tyrants like the evil Gavin Newsom? Well, not necessarily. There's also this story. California is planning to release up to 18,000 prisoners because, you know, COVID-1984 by the end of August. Obviously, we need to make room for the mask science deniers. And here's the real key, folks. Don't believe for a second that they have your best interests in mind. Because if there's one thing that ought to be really, really obvious, downright undeniable by now, it's that evil intends to do everything they can to destroy your businesses, your livelihoods, your future, and ultimately kill you. And let's not kid ourselves, that's precisely what they're doing as they tip their hand here. They absolutely positively couldn't care less about your health. We'll be right back after this and the bottom of the hour break.
America's counting When I think back on all the crap I learned in high school, it's a wonder I can think at all. And my lack of education hasn't hurt me none. I can read the writing.
Welcome back again now to the second segment of the show for this evening. I'm your host, Mark Hall, and we're talking about something that I guess I have to be honest and say is the stupid test. And America is passing, or depending upon your perspective, failing, literally catastrophically. And there are any number of examples. I spent much of the first half hour talking about some of them, but I want to begin this segment with a quote from one of my favorite authors, Robert A. Heinlein, who said this in the Notebooks of Lazarus Long a number of years ago, quote, "Stupidity cannot be cured. Stupidity is the only universal capital crime. The sentence is death. There is no appeal, and execution is carried out automatically and without pity," unquote. And you have to ask the question, gee, that certainly does seem to apply to societies too, doesn't it? Is America literally headed down the stupid train into the abyss? I can't help but think, yeah, it's got to be that way. And I started during the first segment by asking this question. Who would have thought we would ever go to Civil War 2.0 over something as stupid as a muzzle that people have to wear on their face so that they could be properly socialist distanced and literally committed to destruction of themselves and their humanity and everything else that they've worked for? I mentioned that there are any number of papers and indications that research, including things like MKUltra carried out for years, have made it clear that if you really want to kill people, isolate them. You can do it in solitary confinement, or you can do it, as we're seeing, in plain view, right out there where people will literally take each other's heads off on the grocery store aisles or in the halls at Walmart. And, of course, Walmart is a really great participant in all this because, like so many of the Big Brother public-private partners, they know where their bread is buttered. Doesn't matter what the consumer likes or doesn't like. All that matters is that you are on the right side of Big Brother through what's coming, and your competition will be eliminated. And then guess what? People may lose their jobs and not be able to buy the products anymore, but at least you're okay. Folks, any way you slice it, what we're seeing today is just plain beyond the pale. Let me throw out a couple more stories to kick us into this segment. COVID testing scandal, and you've probably heard about this, I hope you have anyway. Literally hundreds of labs in Florida reported 100% of the people that were stupid enough to get tested were positive. I said for a while, joking, if you really want to get a COVID test, just take a coin out of your pocket, better get them while you still can, and flip it. And the coin toss is probably more accurate as to whether you really or really don't have COVID as a test where, it's probably going to show a lot of false positives anyway. So you can flip the coin or you can just say, I've got it. The test will merely confirm that the test is bogus. And what's the point? Well, the point is the same as it's always been. People lie, especially if they're in positions of power and it stands to benefit them. They fudge the figures, especially when it comes to time to convince people, booga, 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 you had better conform or die. And what's worse, and this is where I'm really headed, we have a whole lot of eugenicists in positions of power, population controllers, and outright genocide planners that are just plain salivating, rubbing their hands in glee over what they've managed to do to a formerly free country. Another case. Now, this is going to be one of those stories people are going to say, wait, what has this got to do with everything else? Trust me, it will. A Tesla on autopilot. This was a piece from Zero Hedge earlier in the week. Smashed into the back of what? Yet another car, in this case a patrol vehicle, on the side of the road near Benson, Arizona. According to, you ready for this, the Arizona Department of Public Safety Twitter feed. Yeah, ponder the irony. And in addition to being on autopilot, the driver of the vehicle is being investigated for DUI. Well, I guess the only important thing is whether or not he was wearing a mask as he was passed out behind the wheel of a car that was driving itself and trying to kill him. I won't read the rest of the story here. The officer escaped injury, but this is just the latest in a string of incidents, says the piece, where Tesla vehicles, many of which were on autopilot, have slammed into the backs of inanimate objects on various roadways. We can't help but wonder, they ask, and I would concur, where could the driver have possibly gotten the idea that they might be able to go drinking and then have their car take over the driving when they want to go home? Could it be the name itself, autopilot, or the careless throwing around of the term full self-driving? Maybe it came from the idea of the autopilot actually being safer than human drivers that's being peddled by Tesla and some of the other regulators. Let me say it again. The point is that they don't care about your health. They don't care about your safety. They don't care about your life. What they care about is, yeah, the almighty dollar, power, and control. And how better than to foist on people the idea of fully electric self-driving cars that we get to tell you where and when or even if you're allowed to go. Guess what? Can you imagine how long it's going to take for Tesla or somebody else that wants Big Brother's bucks to put in a little sensor saying, do you have your mask on? We won't take off until you do. And by the way, you're not going to be allowed to go anywhere that we don't want you to appear. Days before this incident, says the story, they reported on another Tesla that drove off a cliff under mysterious circumstances in Santa Clara County, California. The Tesla went over the cliff, and the driver, a 60-year-old Pleasanton resident, was found dead at the scene. 2 weeks ago, another Tesla autopilot was to blame for a similar near-fatal accident. We've had self-immolating Teslas and Teslas that spontaneously combust reported for a long time now. You have to ask, who's paying for all of this? Who would buy these things? Oh, unless they were being mandated. And isn't that the very same reason that you're not allowed to go into a store without a mask or without Big Brother's permission? All of this is making the very same point. Let me say it again. They lie. They fudge the figures. They have another interest, and it has nothing to do with your health or your safety, but it does have to do with your control and ultimately even your deaths. The sooner we realize that, the sooner we get to where we need to be, which is for people to wake up and say, come on, I've had it. This mask is probably the greatest proof you're ever going to have of how they don't give a blankety blank about anything associated with your health. They really simply want to control you, and the mask is a brilliant ploy. It's more than a beta test at this point, to see who are drinking the Kool-Aid and who are not. And I'll say it again because it bears repeating. Those that wear the mask will, in fact, bend over and take the poke. They will go for the injection because the very same technology and proof, in other words, I don't mean technology like vaccines or whether masks do anything or not. I mean the technology that's involved in human control and dehumanization. And that is succeeding brilliantly. They're going to do exactly to you with the vaccine what they did to you with the mask. And then if you'll fall for all of that, and maybe it's even part and parcel the same thing, you'll take the mask, the mark of the beast, because, well, it's too hard not to. They won't let me buy or sell. They won't let me go into Walmart. They won't let me get in my self-driving car and go anywhere. I can't even go out to dinner or go bowling anymore. I can't go to a movie. I can't do anything that was once part of what it was like to be a free American. Well, hey, this is the new normal, folks. Wake up and smell the drug-induced poison that's coming. Take off your mask. You won't be able to smell much of anything unless you're breaking wind. All right. Here is another piece that I'm going to mention. I won't spend a lot of time on it, but I do think it's, interesting. Comes from Peter St. Onge via the Mises Institute. And it's, basically it's entitled The COVID-19 Panic. And it shows us why science needs skeptics. Now, I'll say this up front. Honestly, this is a good piece, but it's too kind, because this guy isn't hard enough on the evil that's at work here. He does say, though, that the dumpster fire surrounding COVID-19 predictions has shown exactly why it's important to sustain and nurture skeptics. Well, I think that describes your host here. Lest we blunder into scientific monoculture and groupthink. That's not a blundering, folks. That is an intentional being driven there. And we have the explosion of the cancel culture, too. Intolerance of any opinion that can't fit on a 3x5 shrinking card, and any right think, well, I guess they call it right think, it's actually far left think, that destroys the very tolerance and science that sustains our civilization is what they're looking for. Since World War II, peace notes, America has suffered 2 respiratory pandemics, not to be confused with a plandemic, comparable to COVID-1984, in 1958, the Asian flu, and then in 1969, the Hong Kong flu. In neither case, though, did we self-immolate, destroy the economy, and literally shut down the world as a result. People were simply more careful. And not that careful, he notes, Jimi Hendrix, after all, and a whole bunch of other people were playing at Woodstock in the middle of the 1969 pandemic and Summer of Love. No, they didn't do socialist distancing. They just did socialism. COVID-19 was very different as well, thanks to what they call the buggy mess. Remember Neil Ferguson, British epidemiologist, that said, booga, 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 we're all going to die. Hysterical overestimates of deaths were the rule, not the exception. And idiots, liars, and evil people like Dr. Sick Anthony Fauci, the Dr. Mengele of the American Nazi Revolution, were just plain loving it, pushing the bogus numbers and pushing for all kinds of things, even though they contradicted themselves. Remember when Fauci said the mask doesn't do any good? Well, that was before he realized, no, the mask is going to make me a whole lot of money and consolidate my power, too. COVID-19 might have been a deadly pandemic with or without Ferguson's fancies, but we know the true scale and risk of a threat, and had we known it, we might have planned better to safeguard the elderly and those at risk, because basically, the only people that really died en masse were the ones that, say, New York Governor Cuomo sentenced to death by putting them in with a whole lot of other people. In other words, he foisted COVID-19 patients into nursing homes, and by most estimates, fully 42% of the people that died with COVID-19, not as a result of COVID-19, they had other comorbidities, but anyway, they were in nursing homes. So if you really want to kill people and get the booga, booga, booga effect going, yeah, force them to be together so that you can kill a lot more at risk along with them. Okay, here's the point of Peter's article in the Mises Institute. COVID-19 has illustrated the importance of free and robust inquiry. After all, panic politicians facing media accusations of killing grandma just aren't in a very good position to evaluate these trade-offs. Now, here's where I pause and say, wait a minute, he's being too kind. They should at least realize they took an oath before God to preserve, protect, and defend a constitution that says you have no authority to do anything of this sort. So, no, I don't hold them harmless. I do hold them stupid and evil, but the point is, we ought to hold them to task. Well, anyway, back to the claim here. Well, they weren't in a very good position to evaluate these trade-offs. They needed intellectual ammunition. Well, they needed intellect, and they needed integrity. They didn't have either. Not only to show them, he says, which path is best, but to bolster them when a left-wing deep state media establishment attacks. Moreover, voters needed this ammunition so they can actually, you ready for this? Tell the politicians what to do. Wait a minute. That was the point of the Constitution. That was the point of the oath of office. Hadn't worked very well with crooks in office, has it? And he goes on to say, this means two things. Debate must be transparent, and debate must be tolerant of skeptics. It was a piece in the New York Times written by a woman named Barry Weiss, who's far left, but decided that she still has enough integrity to realize that the old gray lady is not a place where there is anything approaching actual journalism, scientific inquiry, or even honest reporting of facts. They have an agenda, and anybody that doesn't stick to it is going to get thrown under the bus. She left, showing some integrity. The rest of us at least need to realize, come on, what are we talking about here? This is a society that is intent on self-immolation. I wish I was kidding. I wish I was exaggerating. But the facts are simply no longer deniable here. Back to the story. What we're supposed to have, he says, is transparency and tolerance of skeptics. Again, we have neither. Transparency means data and computer code that's open to public scrutiny, the minimum requirement for any study that's used to justify public policy, especially, of course, if they intend to gang rape the Constitution and Bill of Rights in the process. And this is from lockdowns to carbon taxes to all kinds of other bogus anti-scientific stuff. The problem, folks, is that what he's talking about here is really called pseudoscience. It's not real science. And most people have been dumbed down. They don't know what science is. And if they're not getting honest reporting, if they can't honestly evaluate the facts, they're not even given the facts. Look at the COVID-19 data that is absolutely fallacious from the get-go. Even the tests are bogus. How can you possibly say that you can make any real informed choices about what's going on if you know darn well they're lying to you? These studies must be based on verifiable facts, says the author, code that actually does what it says it does, and the ensuing decision-making process must be open and transparent to the public. Well, again, we're so far from this that it's almost a fantasy world. He quotes an Indian bureaucrat who puts it this way. Emergency situations like this pandemic should require a far higher, no, not lower, level of scrutiny. And that's about as far from the situation we have as it could be. Even more important, though, says the author, than transparency, debate must be tolerant of alternative opinions. Folks, alternative opinions are being banned from Twitter, from Facebook. Gulag won't search them, and people aren't even allowed to express them. By the way, it's a lot harder to express them if you're muzzled and not allowed to in a public place anymore. You can't even get up on a soapbox in most far-left cities and talk. Matter of fact, nowadays, of course, with Black Lives Matter, they'd probably just execute you on the spot. As I go through this, and as I'm thinking and realizing how far gone we really are, I can't help but think back to shows I was doing just a year ago and talking about what was coming and realizing that, it was going to be here. People would still be denying it. And here we are. And what really flummoxes me is this issue of stupidity. Stupidity is the only universal capital crime. Heinlein was right. The sentence is death. And when an entire society becomes dumbed down to the point where it's deliberately stupid, it ends up being destroyed. The prophet Hosea had it right. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. But wait a minute, it goes on. And because you have rejected knowledge, he said, I will reject you for being priests for me. Well, they're all priests for a different God nowadays. And I will also forget your children. And tell me what of that is not exactly what we're seeing today. Back to this idea of groupthink and what is allowed to be expressed and what is not. This means, says the author, these alternative opinions means that ideas that are wrong, offensive, even dangerous should be tolerated, even celebrated. By all means, refute them. Most alternative hypotheses are wrong, so it shouldn't be hard to refute them without any censorship. After all, that is the essence of science, to generate hypotheses that are actually testable by actual people, not just so-called licensed experts. And whenever we face a new crisis, a new policy innovation, or even a better mousetrap, groupthink and censorship are the recipes for disaster and stagnation. And that is, in fact, here's where I part with the author, the intent here. I think, again, he's being too kind. He talks about settled science and how it's generally wrong. I'll suggest that anybody that uses the term settled science doesn't know what science is. The closest we come is something that's called a law to scientists, like Newton's second law of thermodynamics or the law of gravity. Note that Einstein's theory, the theory of, you name it, several of them, relativity and others, are still called theories. They seem to apply to the world as we know it, at least in relativistic domains and so forth, but they're not yet called a law up until we have lots and lots and lots and lots of examples of what's going on, like with the law of gravity. Hey, it works every time you test it. And realize that as far as we know, there are no exceptions. Well, what we're seeing with the entire settled science out there today is so bogus that it defies description. Whether we're talking about plandemics or climate change, institutional racism, or whatever new crisis they invent next, we have a fundamental right, says the author, to tenaciously defend transparency and the tolerance that constitutes science itself, so that it remains one of humanity's crowning achievements. And we preserve this golden age that would have astounded our ancestors. Well, folks, trouble is science now has been used to destroy. And if you think it's limited to just nuclear weapons and chemical weapons and biological weapons, like what COVID-1984 may be, understand there are psychological weapons, control weapons that are even more deadly and dangerous, not to mention a whole lot more subtle, and they are being employed. I don't have time to go into a whole lot of other stuff today. What I want to do is just close with a quick reminder. I saw a great little one-page poster about mask wearing. It reduces oxygen in the bloodstream up to 60%, increases the risk of CO2 poisoning, causes people to increase face touching, and as a result, viruses and bacteria saturate the outside and the inside. Touching the mask spreads germs all over surfaces, so if you're in a store, especially a grocery store, full of people touching their face, touching their masks, and then touching the food and the countertops and everywhere else. Whoa, that's a lot worse situation than you would have had otherwise. Contaminants sit within the mask fibers. They get re-inhaled. Trouble is, fresh air is vital for immune health. And if people actually cared about immune health, if the mask mandators actually cared about your health, folks, they'd be telling you the truth. They'd be telling you to strengthen your immune system. Take supplements like vitamin D3, K2, and vitamin C, and zinc, and similar immune-enhancing supplements. Your body is incredibly well-designed and able to fight things off if you don't do stupid things to it, like rebreathe a bunch of carbon dioxide and stifle your oxygen intake. For crying out loud, lose the stupid mask. There is at least a bit of good news on the COVID-1984 plandemic front. It's probably the only good news in this whole stinking mess, and it has to do with the fact that a lot of people, who are pretty much out of work anyway, but do have kids at home, are realizing that their kids are actually better off in the absence of the public indoctrination centers, and a lot of them, even as the schools are planning on reopening, but of course with the usual socialist distancing and mask mandates to make darn sure the kids don't learn anything while they're oxygen deprived, are planning on saying no to the reopening public cesspools. School districts across the nation, says a piece from the Foundation for Economic Education, are planning on reopening, but they've adopted onerous CDC or concocted death count guidelines. The usual things that we've already seen demonstrate they're a lot more interested in control and indoctrination than education. Strict socialist distancing, all-day mask wearing for most students and teachers, staggered attendance, daily health checks, as if they cared, no gym or cafeteria use, but also restricted playground access, and of course, tight controls on visitors, and that means especially parents, to the child reprogramming centers. As one of the soon-to-be homeschooling parents pointed out, these rigid and arbitrary rules and requirements all serve to dehumanize, disconnect, and intimidate students. So yeah, lots and lots of them are planning on coming out of her and doing the right thing, educating their children as opposed to indoctrinating them over coming months. And that's a very good thing and much to be encouraged. The bigger question at this point, of course, is whether they'll be allowed to grow up and become responsible adults. And with that in mind, let's turn to some other aspects of doing what we need to do now, i.e. avoid failing the stupid test. One of the things that the 1-2 punch of communists on the one hand and masters who want to muzzle their slaves on the other is obscuring is the overdue but now well underway complete worldwide economic collapse. Charles Hugh Smith and a whole lot of other Austrian-type economists, and that would include your host, have been talking about for a long time, a financial extinction event. We are there. And he goes through a whole lot of numbers and charts, but the bottom line is simply that prepare for famine. Prepare for a complete breakdown. The supply chain is already broken. The food supply chain, too, is broken. The United States and indeed the whole world are headed into an economy, a depression, that is going to make the little blip in the early 1930s, they called it the Great Depression, they're going to have to rename it, look like a minor nothing compared to what we've got coming. Are you prepared? Are you watching, for example, what's going on with the precious metals markets? Even the paper versions are falling apart. People are recognizing it. Ron Paul asked this question. Will the Federal Reserve cause the next riots? Because, of course, they have been setting this up, preparing, inflating the biggest debt bubble and other bubbles in human history. And now they've been popped. And what are they going to do? Well, eventually, whatever they do is going to end up in hyperinflation. So prepare for it. That's part of the reason why you're at least finally beginning to see some folks saying, you know, when the wheels come off the wagon, I better have some gold and some silver. Your host is more partial to silver because when it comes to an economic survival situation, whatever we end up having, silver will be a lot easier to make change for, especially if the Fed quits, quits printing, minting actual coins, even though they're not real coins anymore. Anyway you slice it, folks, we are in for a tough ride. And the key is to understand they don't care about your lives. They don't care about your fortunes. They don't have any sacred honor, and they intend to kill tens, maybe hundreds of millions. They've been working up to this. They've been using the only science that they care about, which is that is used to destroy, and it's been very, very successful. When it comes to the stupid test, America has failed it. So I'm going to suggest the following. As we look at the future, we had better understand, the worst thing that could happen is not a civil war. The worst thing that could happen is what they have planned for people that wear the masks, take the vaccine, and go willingly to the demise that they have so carefully charted out. It's all another form of idolatry. We've been warned about that, too. We must choose this day whom we will serve and who we won't serve. Choose whom you believe and recognize that when they've been lying to you for this long, they're not about to stop now. Once upon a time, this nation was founded upon certain, what they called self-evident principles, that there is a God and that what rights we have come from Him and not from any earthly government of mere men at all. That means that no government of men actually has the authority to take them away from us. But until we wake up and remember that and start acting like it, what the prophet Hosea said is also true. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And I guess now we could add, even outright stupidity.